I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Okay, I'm not going to say pee. That sounds very, very childish.
Yeah, the pee-pee. Clean your pee-pee. After shame.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Mino.
And I'm Ankita.
And first of all, we want to thank you guys for all the support you've shown us in 11 weeks of the Desi Outsiders. We're officially into our 2-digit episodes now, and it feels great to be releasing episode number 10. This is the last episode from our series on periods, sex, and reproduction. In episode 8, we discussed the period, the lack of understanding of the concept among certain young individuals in India, and we even brought in the male perspective of Ankita's husband Shane in order to further discuss the topic of periods while also shedding some light on the awareness among young boys to foster understanding and respect.
In episode 9, we gave you guys the talk. This was our shortest episode so far, and it was released in the form of a YouTube video. We tried to explain in very simple terms what the period is, what goes on in our bodies around the time of puberty, and why it's important to break the stigma that arises due to the lack of awareness and education.
And finally, in this episode, we will attempt to break down the basics of hygiene. We will tackle female, male, as well as sexual hygiene in this episode. So I just wanted to ask you, Ankita, what was your basic knowledge of hygiene when you first got your period, or even as a young girl in India?
So I did mention in the previous episodes how I was not given the talk, like officially given the talk by my parents. But once I got my period, they became more comfortable discussing this. And even my dad, like my mom and my dad, they would both keep telling me about the importance of being hygienic, especially around the time of my period. And I feel like my dad was a little paranoid because I was a child and I didn't ask too much. But he always used to mention how there was this friend of his whose daughter actually passed away because she did not maintain her hygiene. And I
think, was that a true story?
He got a little paranoid ever since this happened, which is why my dad would always come to me and say, you know, you have to make sure that you're clean and you're hygienic, especially around the time of your period. And I think basically this teenager that he told me about was someone who was not very clean and hygienic around the time of her period, and that led to some sort of infection. And unfortunately, she didn't survive.
That sounds something pretty serious, Ankita. I mean, usually if you have an infection in that area, it's pretty easy to clear up. So for someone to pass away, it must have been very bad, or maybe it was just a bout of bad luck.
I don't really know exactly what it was. I remember him being really paranoid about it, which is why he was never reluctant to open up a dialogue with me and tell me that it was important for me to be hygienic as well. And my mom, generally speaking, she's a very clean and hygienic person. So ever since I got my period, she would actually nudge me to go change my pad, or, you know, to clean everything correctly. It was like brushing my teeth at night. She just made it a habit for me. So cleanliness and hygiene around, especially around the time of my period, is something that was deeply instilled from the time I got my period, although I didn't get the talk.
I don't want to scare our listeners. I don't think you can pass away if you're not hygienic. I mean, that's not really the case, but it can play a role in some severe infections or in some major health problems. So it's really important to maintain proper hygiene during your periods, especially around the genital area. And it's especially in a country like India, Ankita, it's so warm most of the time. And I mean, I've been to Delhi myself, and I've been on my period when I've been in Delhi. And apart from it being super uncomfortable, you have to maintain your hygiene. It's so important. And it's not just about changing your pad, or it's not just about, you know, going to the bathroom every morning or every evening. You have to do it quite often. And you have to make sure that anything, any remnants of blood or anything that's around you, it has to be clean. Because even just leaving dry blood patches on your skin can just be very unhygienic. And not just that, Ankita, but it's quite unpleasant to have to be sitting next to someone who's been on their period and they haven't cleaned themselves. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's not very ladylike, I think, you know?
I think because we started, actually, we were talking to each other before we started recording, and you did mention how there was this incident where someone was not very hygienic and there was a smell and you asked them to actually go take care of the situation.
Yeah, I did, Ankita, because I had to sit next to this person. And I think what I did, maybe I did it in a very aggressive way, but I think that one thing that I did probably instilled it in their head that they have to make sure that they're changing all the time.
Yeah, I feel that people should stop feeling ashamed of actually pointing it out to people. And I've been really lucky that I have never faced a situation where I was with another woman who was actually on her period and there was a smell that made me want to tell her to go take a look. But I feel that a lot of us, even if we are in the situation, we would actually shy away from confronting it and saying that maybe, you know, it's not very hygienic and it's not very pleasant even for me to be sitting next to you. So could you please go, you know, change your pad or clean yourself?
Yeah, I wanted to say, Ankita, that not just about the smell as well, but if you see some, I mean, I've seen it myself. I'm 23 and I'm still going to university and college. And I've seen girls sometimes with a stain on their lab coat and I'll tell them. I'll be like, hey, you know, you should just watch out, change. And sometimes I'll have pads in my bag and I'll lend them a pad or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are too shy to do this.
Yeah.
But you have to, like, if you tell them, then you will save them further embarrassment.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong in saying any of these things, not just from smell, but if you see someone has a stain, tell them about it.
Yeah, there's nothing that you don't need to feel ashamed of actually pointing out that there's a stain. You're actually doing someone a favor by pointing it out and helping them with a pad or with a tampon or whatever it is that they need. And since we're speaking of cleanliness, I one thing I want to stress is that you have to clean your genital area, especially when you're on your period. Like, you have to do it even on a daily basis, no matter what is happening to your body. But especially when you're on your period, you need to clean the area with lukewarm water at least twice a day, if not as often as you change the absorptive material, be it a pad or a tampon or even a menstrual cup. So because we're speaking about cleaning again, for cleaning there are many female hygiene products available on the market, and most of these products are really safe to use even on a daily basis. So if you're someone who's suspicious of these items and you don't want to use them on a daily basis, you should at least try to use them to clean yourself while you're on your period, because this is the time when I don't think there's a need for us to go into further detail and explain why exactly you should be cleaning yourself. It's it's blood
it's
that is coming
pretty
up.
Self-explanatory, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So you need to use these products and clean yourself.
Well, I went to Mozambique, Ankita, when I was 18 years old, and I knew that I was living in a village, and I knew that I didn't have water readily available, probably even soap readily available. But I knew that when I was going there, I knew that this would be an issue. So I carried a load of wipes with me, and that's what I used to maintain my hygiene. Now, when I was there, I actually didn't know about this, but some girls were actually on a contraceptive pill. Now, for those of you who don't know, you can take a contraceptive pill which actually prolongs or delays your period. So some sportswomen, runners, gymnasts, swimmers.
I've actually heard of this, because I used to have classmates who were into dance, and whenever they had a stage performance and if their period coincided with the date, if they knew in advance, then they would take pills to delay the onset of the period. But I didn't know that it was contraceptive pills.
Yeah, I probably guess they were maybe either too afraid or probably didn't even know themselves what it was,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, these were teenage girls. They would just go to the doctors and they would just get a pill.
They probably didn't know it served a double purpose as well. But I didn't know about it, obviously, because I was an Indian girl from a very sheltered house, so no one ever mentioned anything like that to me. But I just carried wipes around with me, and sometimes, I don't know what it's like in Edinburgh, Ankita, or even in India. I doubt this would be in India, but sometimes when I buy my sanitary towels, some of the sanitary towels that I buy, they come alongside with a bag of wipes as well. So when I'm in school, when I'm traveling, I carry these wipes with me, and it's really just makes my life so much easier.
I haven't actually, maybe because I've not been looking properly, like I have my brand and I know what I'm going to get when I go to the supermarket and I pick up my sanitary towels. So I've not really looked around. Maybe it is available. I've not really, you know, been very consciously looking for something like that. But it's a great tip, especially for traveling. I should probably look around for something of the sort, with cleansing wipes particularly designed for the area, because I hear that people use baby wipes and other kinds of wipes, which are okay, probably safe to use as well. But when you have cleansing wipes, which are particularly designed for this purpose, then I think that is something that we should all look into.
But if you can't find these specific wipes for when you're on your period, you can most definitely use baby wipes as well. I mean, when you're traveling, you will need these things as well.
So we just gave everyone really cool traveling tips. Carry baby wipes with you.
Sponsored by British Airways. That was so lame. Cut it out, Shane.
So now that we're done with what kind of hygiene you should maintain physically while you're on your period, some people might be wondering what kind of products they should use, because you have pads, you have tampons, you have something called a menstrual cup, and everyone has their own preference depending upon how heavy their period is. So I just want to explain a few basic concepts with you, Meenal. First of all, a pad is basically, it's like a variation of a nappy that little babies wear, but it's designed in such a way.
I never thought of it like that.
I mean, just think of it. It is like...
Well, it kind of is, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. And the difference is, the good thing is, it's not bulky and it's designed in such a way that women have more freedom and they can move about and they can be more active even when they're wearing a pad. And sometimes you need something thicker during the night, and you can find these by looking at either the number on the package, or what else you can do is check the drop icons to see how absorptive they are. So if you've noticed that you're buying your pad or your tampons, you will see that on the cover there are these drops. And based on the number of drops on your cover, you know how absorptive your sanitary towel is.
And also, I mean, you mentioned the drops, Ankita, but the number is also very important. I mean, I don't think everybody understands what these numbers mean. And these numbers are obviously depending on the amount of absorption the pad can withhold. Right. So if you have a very high number, it works in the opposite way. So if you have a high number, it's probably quite thin. Mm. If it's a low number, it's probably quite thick. So what I personally do is, like, during the day, because I'm moving around and I'm going to university or I'm doing my sports, then I would need something thinner. So I'd go for a higher number, like 18, for example, or 20. And if it's for the nighttime, then I would go for something thicker. That's maybe 10 or 12. I mean, this is how it definitely works in Europe. I'm not 100% sure if it works like this in India as well.
I'm not very sure, because I usually buy my pads by looking at the drops. So that's slightly more straightforward if you look at it, because in the numbers, as you mentioned, higher the number, the thinner the pad is. But when it comes to the drops, the higher the number of drops basically means that it's more absorptive. So I think that's more easier and straightforward.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to just look at the number of drops. And also, I mean, whatever's more comfortable for you as well, because it's not something that you have to think, okay, I need 4 drops on my period pack. You know, if you're not comfortable with it, you're not comfortable with it. So, I mean, you can also use tampons as well, and they work in similar ways, but the only difference is that they're directly inserted into your vagina to absorb all the blood. Now, I just really want to emphasize something very important here, and that is that you cannot lose your virginity by using a tampon. That's very important for people to know. You cannot lose your virginity. And it's important, Ankita, because, I mean, some girls are quite scared about their hymen breaking.
Yeah, it's like how you mentioned in the previous episode that you don't get pregnant by hugging.
Yeah.
We're just busting myths.
Yeah, and you can't lose your virginity using a tampon. So some people find a tampon easier to use when they're doing any physical activity, like swimming, dancing, or even when they're going to the gym. And sometimes some girls wear tampons as well, because I don't know if you've tried this before, Ankita, but sometimes when you're wearing leggings...
I know what you're talking about.
You can't wear a pad because it looks... you can see it quite... Then it definitely looks like a nappy. So you don't want to wear it when you're wearing tight leggings. So you can wear a tampon in that case as well. And I just wanted to share a story with our listeners, and maybe some of you have already heard about this story, but this one lady called Kiran Gandhi, and she's 26 year old a Harvard graduate. So it's very important to remember she's a Harvard graduate, very well educated, and she ran the London Half Marathon in April this year. Now, she ran the half marathon during the time of a period. So she ran without any form of absorptive material, and she ran with blood dripping down her legs. Now, she ran this, and she claims she ran this for her sisters who don't have any tampons, and she wanted to transcend the oppression, and she wanted to, you know, create a hype about it and bring a lot of attention to a situation like this. Now, I just want to...
So, first of all, I think that what she did was really brave, because you need to have a lot of guts to pull something like that off. But while she could claim that this was a very feminist thing for her to do, I would say that it's incredibly unhygienic. I mean, running an entire half marathon with no absorptive material. And I've seen that. I've heard about this, Meenal, and I've seen pictures, and I know that there's blood oozing down. Like I've seen the images.
But Ankita, I've done half marathons myself. Now, running with a pad is uncomfortable, but I'm sure running without one would be even more uncomfortable.
It was slightly counterproductive, I would say, because the idea is to raise awareness about hygiene and make people understand the importance of being clean around this time. So this is definitely like the exact opposite of what you should be doing when you're on your period.
Well, I mean, good on her. You know, I mean, I think what she did tell a lot of us that a lot of people don't have access to tampons.
Yeah.
And I think we got the message after she ran that half marathon. So
yeah.
There's a lot of other new things on the market, Ankita. You mentioned to me something that I personally have never heard before, and you were talking about the menstrual cup earlier. So would you like to tell us what that is about? Because I've never heard of it myself.
So the menstrual cup is a pretty new thing in the market, and it's something that I recently heard about, and it was actually very interesting to learn about it. It's basically a more environmentally sustainable technique to contain your period blood. So women who are already comfortable using tampons might feel more inclined to try out this product, because what you're doing is you insert this cup into your vagina, and it's made out of medical grade silicone, and it stays inside your vagina and collects the blood, which can later be disposed of within a few hours by the user. So once again, I just want to make it clear that when you use a pad or a tampon, you use it and you dispose of the pad and the tampon. But in this case, what you do is you don't dispose of this cup. You only dispose of the blood that it has collected. So,
but Ankita, how does this cup work? I mean, how do you insert a cup into your vagina? Like, I don't understand the geometry of it.
It's a silicone cup, so I'm pretty sure that it's not too hard to insert into your vagina. You know, it goes in pretty easily, but a lot of women had a little bit of difficulty initially, where they felt that the cup was not staying in, or that it was too bulky and they didn't know what to do about it. But once you get used to it, apparently it's way more effective than a tampon. And one of the reasons why women love it is there's no string coming out of it the way it does with a tampon.
Right. Okay.
And another reason women have actually reported a reduction in abdominal pain ever since they started using it.
So Ankita, as you're speaking, I've just Googled an image of this cup, and I was trying to figure out how this works in terms of geometry, because when you say cup, it sounds like it's something which is quite rigid, but actually it isn't. It's like a filter cone sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like an inverted bell.
Yeah, that's what it is, and it's very like malleable.
Yeah,
and you can insert. It seems like it's something very easy to insert, but
like I mentioned, it's made out of like medical grade silicone, so it is pretty easy. It is pretty malleable, and you can just. It's not like a plastic cup that you're putting up your vagina.
Have you ever seen it available on the market? I've never seen anything like that before.
I have. There's something called the Diva Cup. Yeah, and I think it's about £30. So that's another thing, right? So studies have shown that women go through a lot of pads and tampons during their lifetime. And the manufacturers of this Diva Cup that I mentioned earlier, they came up with a few figures that are interesting. So basically, an average woman menstruates for around 40 years of her life. And she uses approximately 20 tampons or pads per cycle.
Right, okay.
Which means that the average woman uses 240 tampons each year. So for a woman who menstruates for 40 years of her life, if she uses 240 tampons each year, how many tampons or pads does a woman consume in the entire duration of her menstrual life cycle? The answer is actually a whooping 9,600.
Wow. Now, actually, Ankita, you mentioning all these numbers, and we're quite privileged to just go into a market and buy a packet of pads, but not everyone has that money.
Yeah, no, they're not cheap.
And I don't know if you heard about it, but there was this big hype that happened in Britain, I think last year maybe, where people were saying that they wanted tax and VAT to be removed from pads and tampons. And some people even went so far to say that they should just be given out free.
Yeah.
And I mean, people do raise a good point, because pads are not something that are cheap to buy, especially if you want to buy good quality pads.
Yeah, you're right. So they are quite expensive. And to actually consider the fact that an average woman goes through 9,600, almost 10,000 pads or tampons during her lifetime. The concept behind this menstrual cup is that these pads and tampons, which are basically non-biodegradable landfill waste, they take up to 25 years per item to break down. So
per one pad?
Per one pad, 25 years to break down. Yeah. And there are biodegradable pads available in the market as well. But the problem is that they need to be composted and not disposed as regular waste.
Mm.
Because if you don't compost them, then there's no difference. Like, you put them in your regular waste, they go back to the landfill and they do nothing just because they're biodegradable. Mm. They have to be composted. And it, first of all, saves you a bunch of money, because you don't have to go buy all of these pads and tampons every single month. Instead, you can use this cup, which can actually be used for up to 5 years. So it's a one-time investment.
So we're very lucky to have something like this so readily available. I mean, I haven't personally seen it myself, but you say that you've seen it around Edinburgh.
Yeah.
But imagine the people who don't have anything like this available. So, you know, people in rural India, and they use cloths. And for those of you who are listening, cloths are a big, big no-no. And the main reason is that no matter how hard you clean the material for, there will still always be some bacteria lying around which can cause random infections. Now, as females, our vaginas have some protective microbes which protect us from infection. So anything that's around the air, anything that we interact with on a daily basis, our vagina can protect us from. So we already have a pre-existing safety net, you know, to common bacterial infections. But when you're using the cloth, if you're just washing it with domestic soap or anything that you just use around the house, it's impossible to get rid of every single blob of bacteria that will probably be lying around after your period.
Yeah.
So just like the cloth should not be reused, I think it's also important to remember that even tampons and pads are not products that you use 24/7. They're not made to be used throughout the day, have to be changed constantly. And it's just like the story that I said earlier to Ankita about the smell that goes around with you. So it's so important to just carry a pad around in your bag to make sure that you're never short of anything. And I always carry a bag of wipes with me as well, just in case there are no hygiene products around me available. In fact, every single of my handbag has a couple of pads in them, just in case.
So now that we discussed all the materials that you can use to absorb and contain your period, I just want to go back to the initial comments we made on hygiene in general and talk about pubic hair as well, because I think that's really important to remember that where there is hair, there are germs. So you need to always, always clean the area thoroughly, as it's very easy for your pubic hair to harbor germs and bacteria. So while everyone may not think that shaving the area is a good idea, at least try to trim and contain your pubic hair, or even wax the area to have better hygiene. And if you're against shaving, trimming, or waxing, then you might actually want to try and clean as often as you want, or as often as you can, in order to maintain proper hygiene.
Yeah, I think, Ankita, in India, shaving, waxing, and all these things, especially in that area, it's kind of an awkward topic. I mean, it's not like you're going to go up to your mom and be like, hey, mom, I want to wax my hoo-ha. And, you know, it's just not as easy as that.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, I personally believe that waxing is a better option, only because that when you wax, your hair will not grow back as quickly, and it grows back much thinner as well. So you don't want to have very thick hair lying around if you shave. But if that's more comfortable for you, then go ahead and go for it. But it's so important to to clean this area, especially in females, because UTIs, which are known as urinary tract infections, are very, very common in females, and they're found more in women than in men, and most importantly, more in pregnant women as well. So don't ever ignore the symptoms of a UTI, because it can spread very rapidly and it can lead to more pain and more agony. Now, Ankita, I've met patients in the hospital who've come in and we found out that they had a UTI, and they've come in days later because they thought that it was just some abdominal pain, some period pain.
Oh no.
So I want to tell our listeners what the symptoms of a UTI include.
Yeah.
So if this does happen to you, straight to the hospital, not because you need to be admitted, just to get the prescribed antibiotics as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So the symptoms of a UTI include bloatedness, you'll find pain on your mid-back area, nausea, and the main thing you will feel is pain on urination as well. And sometimes there may be some blood, but don't be scared about it, because if there are small drops of blood, it's not a huge deal. You'll go see your doctor, they'll prescribe you the antibiotics, and you'll clear it out. But when you find a lot of blood, then it really is something to worry about. So you will be prescribed antibiotics, and they also say that cranberry juice and plenty of fluids and water will speed up the recovery process. So it's so important for women to remember that if you have a UTI, make sure that you clear it up as soon as you can.
So since you mentioned that UTI is more common in females than in males, I just want to touch upon the male hygiene part as well, because I think that a lot has not been said about it. And honestly speaking, we are probably not in a position to say much about it either. But I feel that the male hygiene process in general is more straightforward in comparison to female hygiene. And all you need to do, or all you need to remember, is to keep your genitals clean. And since there is a foreskin, you know, pulling your foreskin back and cleaning around the area and making sure that there's no extra buildup that went unnoticed, that went without cleaning. These are the basic ideas. These are the basic things that you need to keep in mind, especially when men are trying to be more conscious about their hygiene. You know, sometimes men tend to go in two extreme directions. Some men are extremely conscious of their hygiene and they overdo it. And some others, they just do not give a damn. They do not care about their hygiene. So you need to try and figure out this middle ground and try to maintain proper hygiene by cleaning everything in the area because it is important.
If you're sexually active as well, condoms is one way as well to prevent the spread of infection, but condoms are also used as the most common birth control method. One of its main advantages, Ankita, because you were talking about hygiene, is the fact that you are not spreading any germs or any bacteria either to your partner. So an important thing to note is that you have to use a condom and nothing but a condom. You can't use anything else. The condom is the only thing that you can use.
Oh my God, remember the Vietnamese story that I told you about?
Yeah.
In a previous episode, I actually, in case, if you're new to the episode, if you're new to the podcast and you don't know what we're talking about, in a previous episode, I actually mentioned the story of this young teenage Vietnamese couple. They were really young and they were too shy to go out and buy a condom. And instead, because they were going to have sex for the first time, they used a plastic cover and there was multiple tearing in both genital organs. And that is upsetting.
And a lot of people also believe, and Ankita, you might think I'm just being really stupid saying this, but a lot of people do believe that a condom is something that can be reused.
Oh no.
And it's something that you cannot and you should not reuse at all, for very obvious reasons. I hope I don't have to go into.
Why you shouldn't? Oh my god! I seriously hope we don't have to explain why you shouldn't reuse a condom. No, that is just not done. Now, another thing that people tend to use during sexual intercourse is lubricants. I hope that people use lubricants, because a lot of people think that it's a matter of shame to use the aid of an extra sexual lubricant, and that women should naturally generate enough lubricants to have smooth and painless sex. And there's a lot of pressure on women when it comes to these things. But it's common sometimes for women to not generate as much lubricant as is needed. So you should always try to use a little bit of extra lube to avoid tearing and further infections in both genital organs. It's actually pretty important even for men to use lubricant even before putting on a condom sometimes, because there can be tearing.
So anybody who does have any sexual intercourse, especially women, must go straight to the bathroom after your sexual intercourse. You have to... Okay, I'm not going to say pee. That sounds very, very childish.
Yeah, the pee-pee. Clean your pee-pee after shame.
So anybody who does have sexual intercourse, especially women, you have to please remember that once you've had your sexual intercourse, go to the bathroom, and if you have the urge to urinate, then you should, and take a shower. And the reason is that you can clear out anything that may lead to an infection, and never be too lazy to do this, because it would only make you very uncomfortable in the future with recurrent UTIs. And the same goes for any sexual intercourse which takes place in the anal area as well, because over here there can be a huge buildup of bacteria, and I don't think I need to mention why, but I think
no,
our
actually,
listeners will
actually
understand.
Do explain, Meenal, why could there be a huge buildup of bacteria in the anal area?
But it is advised to be clean before sex and after sex.
So there you have it. We hope that you found this episode useful. It's very important that this information is passed on to friends and family who you may feel need it the most.
And you may feel shy and awkward speaking about this topic to your friends, but trust me, you will do them a huge favor, which could last them a lifetime.
Like we mentioned earlier, if you come in contact with a woman who is on her period and you feel that there's an odor coming from her, then obviously her cleanliness is probably not up to the mark, and don't feel shy to actually bring this up with her and maybe have a conversation about it.
But even if you're too shy to tell them, I mean, you can just promote the Desi Outsiders and be like, hey, you should listen to this podcast. And
yeah, we will tell them. So as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback, not only on this episode, but also our previous episodes. Do leave us a comment on social media at The Desi Outsiders. If you have any stories about hygiene or the lack of it, please do send them to mail@desioutsiders.com. If you like listening to us, then please subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, and SoundCloud. We would love it if you guys could give us some great reviews, especially on iTunes.
So thank you once again for tuning every Thursday and for your mails and questions. We couldn't be more grateful for the support you've shown us, especially as we're approaching the end of season one. So do stay tuned for more exciting episodes in the future.
So until next Thursday, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenu.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.